Well, good evening, everybody. We are live at the Antlers, the Laker Hockey Show, another edition here. We'll have at least two more shows this season, maybe three more, depending on how we do this coming weekend. But Lakers going to make that long trip over to Mankato, Minnesota this week and get ready to play against a very good team, a team we haven't had a whole lot of success with in the careers against each other. But Damon, let's talk a little bit, first of all, about the Ferris State Series. I thought the Lakers played really well. I thought you played well in both games. Tough 3-1 loss on Friday night, but a great 3-2 win and a 3-1 lead in the third period of that second game. And just a good effort there at Ferris State this weekend. That's a good team.
Yeah, it is. You know, and they're very difficult to play, and I really like the way their team plays, especially in that rink. They're very quick, and they're difficult to play. They don't handle the puck a whole lot. You know, they go back and they're D-hard wrap it or chip the glass and set up foot races all over the ice, and they're built to play that way. So they're a challenge with their quickness for sure. And, you know, we talked post-game Friday, Bill, and I thought we were really average, really, to say that, you know, to talk about our game and be honest about it. We didn't have many guys who played well and played up. I thought our D-core played well, especially losing, you know, a D-man early on, and that was very difficult. Gordy Dayfield was excellent all weekend long, and but I thought as a team, our puck management is a forward group, and just the ability to win 50-50 battles, and again, a lot of credit to them because of their quickness and their tenacity. You know, they earned those 50-50 puck battles, but I thought it was a very average game for us on Friday, and the score kind of showed that ultimately. And you know, even with that average effort, we had a chance late in the game, a minute and a half left. We gave up the empty net goal, but we had our chances there to tie it up and be in it. And then I thought Saturday we were much better. We took care of the puck in a much better way. We generated a little bit more offensively. And you know, we matched their intensity and their urgency and even their quickness. I thought, you know, being the young team that we are, it was another good learning lesson for us to play in that rink and to match that. So I thought Saturday was an important win. I know it had been a long, long time since we'd won a hockey game there as a team, and you know, that's important to get those out of the way. We don't want to go into rinks next year saying the same thing, and we have another chance for that this weekend. You know, we've got to end that, just like the Capo Cup and the long streak at Big Rapids. You know, you want to get those out. That's not the future of our program. That's not what we're you know, what we're about and where we're headed. So I thought it was really important to get the win. Obviously, post game, you know, you're excited to get a chance to get the sixth place spot, and then you're watching the score and see that Bemidji pulled out one on Mankato. But I thought it would have been really nice, obviously, in a good reward for the hard work for our guys to earn sixth place. You know, preseason, nobody had us in the playoffs, let alone up to sixth, seventh place. So it was a little bit disappointing to learn that Mankato didn't get the win. But again, proud of the effort there Saturday. And overall, for our guys, like I said, nobody gave us a chance. Nobody gave us credit. The guys in that locker room believed. Our seniors did a tremendous job of leading us this regular season. And we're really excited about the playoffs and, you know, a difficult matchup down there. But we believe in ourselves, and we've got a hockey team that's able to go in there and win a hockey game.
Yeah, it's very gratifying, I think, to take a look at this and realize that almost everybody, the media and the coaches, picked this team to finish 10th in a 10-team league this year. We finished 7th. We could have been 6th, but we improved by 10 points, and that's a lot of points to improve by, especially when you look at the fact that we lost two games to a team we probably should have at least won one of those games with, Huntsville, early in the season. That would have been a 12-point or a 14-point improvement.
Yeah, and you know, I think you look back and you say here or there were games you could have won, should have won, and same thing. There's some games that maybe we didn't deserve to win that we did, and sometimes they tend to balance out. But obviously, you know, that home weekend early on versus Arizona State and Huntsville, I think we were all questioning some things and where we thought we could be and where we were at. You hate those losses, and then there are losses that, you know, we don't want to have in our program. At the same time, I think if we don't go through those, we don't learn what it takes to win hockey games at this level. I think our young guys and our whole team had to go through that to learn about what it takes to play every single night, no matter who you're playing in college hockey at the Division I level. So they were critical lessons learned, you know, very disappointing losses for sure, and costly losses. Like you said, it cost us, you know, at least sixth place and maybe more. So, you know, it's a difficult lesson, but I'm glad we learned and responded from it, and you can look back and point to some of those. But like you said, I think it says a lot about our leadership group. It says a lot about our team to you know, to beat expectations. I obviously have a ton of respect for the coaches in our league and you know, in the media. They cover the league. They do a great job, and I think it's a very knowledgeable group. And for them to think we didn't have a chance to make the playoffs, it makes me really proud about the effort of our team, the leadership of our team, and the future of our team, where we're headed.
Yeah, this is a young team. It's got the leading scorers in this team are young, and we do have six seniors who are going to leave at the end of the year. They provide tremendous leadership. I thought on the weekend that Bryce Schmidt and Eric Drapluck and Austin McKay really played well. They all accounted for themselves, and so did Pete Spratty. Those four guys were playing as seniors, but every time we needed a big face-off in that defensive zone, Austin McKay came on the ice and took it, and he won probably 9 out of 10, if that's how many he took.
Yeah, he was outstanding, you know, on the ice and in those critical face-offs for sure. I mean, he's really etched out a role that way late in the year, just to be somebody we can really count on for important face-off wins, especially in our D zone. You know, he kills penalties for us as well. And you mentioned Bryce Schmidt, I thought, had another tremendous weekend and played extremely well, extremely hard. You know, Draplick and Spratty have both missed time due to injuries, and that's cost them some time, but they've had very strong finishes here. And, you know, those guys are going to be important for us. You know, Austin McKay today in the locker room, you know, he stood up and spoke a little bit to the team about what this playoff run means and what we're trying to do and the identity we have to play with. That was a lot of our conversation after our game Friday, both Friday night and Saturday morning. There's an identity we have to play with in order for us to be successful. I thought we really got away from it on Friday for whatever reason. Again, part of that's due to Ferris State, but, you know, we know who we are and what we have to do to be successful. And when we do that, you know, we're a good hockey team and we have a chance to beat anybody. So we'll look to that identity on Friday night to get a win on the road.
Yeah, it's going to be tough, though. We were just there a month, maybe 5 weeks ago, I guess. We played at Minnesota State. We have never beaten this team. We haven't played them that many times either, I think 10 or 12 times. But they've won every game we played with them. And last year, they knocked us out in the playoffs. They beat us pretty badly, as I recall, the first game, and then we played really well against them and lost maybe by 2 goals the second game, but we were gone in 2 to them, and they went on to win the league championship last year. But this year, we played them 5 weeks ago, as we say. They beat us 8-0 and 5-1. Those are the worst losses of the season for the Lakers, and I think our guys will remember that when we go in there on Friday night.
Well, they will, and I think we're a much different team than we were at that point, you know, and even though we'd had some good stretches and everything that way, you know, again, it was a weekend we really learned from, even from Friday to Saturday. Our Friday game, once again, some of our habits were poor, and we addressed it, and we're much better on Saturday. You know, and it's a huge matchup. You know, it's a tough task. There's a reason why they've won the league 2 years in a row now. They're co-champions this year. You know, they're a home ice team. They were in the tournament last year. You look at their top two players, I believe they're both seniors, or maybe a junior senior in Bluger and Gervais. You know, Gervais had, I think, 28 goals or something like that last year. Mm-hmm. So they've got experience, and they've been through it. They've been a number one team in our league for since the start of the league, really. And so, you know, it'll be like our preseason polls. You know, everybody preseason didn't think we'd make the playoffs. There's not going to be one person out there that thinks we can go in there and beat them in the playoffs. And the belief and the trust in our room has to be there, and it is there. So, you know, we're not going to go in there and try to win two games on Friday night. We can only worry about the first period on Friday night, and we'll have a good mindset to go in there and be ready to play and you know, make this an interesting weekend and see what we can do.
Yeah, they're really tough on their home ice. In fact, that loss the other night was the second of the season for them. They lost 1-0 to Bemidji State. Bemidji got a goal halfway through the first period and held on after that. Michael Bitzer played really well, as you might expect, in goal. And they get the 1-0 win, but that's only the second time that team's lost at home this season. I think Northern beat them earlier this year, one of the two games in there. They're tough, and they're big and strong on defense. They've got Carter Folgoth back there, who's a junior now. Casey Nelson, really good defenseman who moves the puck. Very impressive team from the back end. And then up front, they got Gervais, you mentioned him, Teddy Bluger, CJ Franklin. They got some really good players. They got good stick skills and they can skate.
Well, they do. I like their decor. You mentioned that. Their decor has size and skating ability, and so they make it difficult to establish your forecheck in puck possession. You know, we've talked the last couple of weeks. I think Rich and Doug have done just a tremendous job with our team, and you know, fans have probably noticed our offensive zone possession time and structure has adapted a little bit. You know, we've done much more defensemen getting involved in the offensive zone, and it's led to increased zonal time. And I think in just a few short weeks, Rich and Doug have done an awesome job with our guys, and our team has responded. They've accepted the coaching and taken as a challenge. So I think we've, you've seen more consistent offense out of us because of that. So again, I think Rich and Doug have done a great job on that, and that'll help us. They're a man-on-man type team in their defensive zone versus the way we play, and Ferris plays and Michigan Tech plays a little bit more of a surround and outnumber. So those adjustments those guys have made and we have made as a staff will help us that way, we believe. And you look at their offensive guys, the guys you mentioned. Bluger's up there. He's one of the league leaders, and I think he's at 33 or 34 points, somewhere around there. From there, it drops 10 points. Bryce Gervais down at 22, 23, really right around where our guys are at. So it's beyond Bluger. They haven't had these huge offensive years like they had last year. Gervais had, I think it said, 28 or so goals last year. So they're not the offensive juggernaut they were last year. And we'll have to obviously keep it a close game and a low scoring game. To have a chance for sure. And you mentioned Bitzer having a nice weekend for Bemidji. Well, I'm not sure who's looked or who's paid attention, but if you look at the WCHA only stats, the leading goaltender save percentage is Gordy Dayfield. So he's led the league in save percentage this year. Just a tremendous job. I think you can look at a Huggins or a Phillips. The teams they have in front of them are significant teams with experience and all conference players. And we don't have that right now. So for Gordy to put the string together he had has been tremendous. I think I heard you as I walked in. I think the Ferris State shot operator helped Gordy a little bit this weekend with their shot count. But real kudos to Gordy for having the strong finish, really strong year. But he's been tremendous again, and huge for him. We're a seventh place team with a young decor and an inexperienced team, and for him to lead the league in save percentage is really tremendous.
Yeah, Gordy was outstanding. I don't think I think probably the best save I've seen him make as a Laker goaltender was on the Mackin kid the other night in the first period of that game. Glove save, got from his right to his left, and he had just made a save over the other side. He was spectacular on Saturday night, especially in the first period, and he kept it. I mean, we ended up winning 3-2. He took that goal right off that kid's stick.
Well, that was, one of the best saves I've seen in my entire career and certainly of the season. And, it's too bad when you watch it back. The replay is not ideal. They don't have a camera on that side of the ice on the bench side. If it was our rink with our replay capabilities and the extra cameras, it would have been unbelievable. I still think you'll see it on some of the NCAA top plays, but it doesn't do it justice. And us on the bench had the perfect eye for it. But, he had no business making that save. And Corey Mackins, the leading freshman scorer and a top 5-10 scorer in the league. He usually finishes those, but Gordy, a huge save, and it was a huge momentum save. Those timely saves are so important, and you could see their whole team sag a little bit and say, oh boy, what do we have to do to beat this kid tonight? So it was a big save by Gordy and a big momentum shift on it.
Yeah, I thought it was tremendous. I thought he was good in both games, and he's put together quite a string. I think Gordy's the ultimate confidence goaltender. If he has confidence in himself and feels good about himself, he's pretty tough.
He is, and he's feeling it, and we spoke again a few weeks back of it, but a real credit to Terry Barbo, our goalie coach. He came in a month or so ago and started talking about, hey, we need to get back to establishing a number one goaltender, between Gordy and Nick, and he's done a great job with both those guys and all our goaltenders, but a real credit to Terry to kind of recognize what he thought our goaltenders needed, what our team needed, and obviously the response from Gordy and our team, and Nick as well. Nick's continued to battle, he did a really good job to come in and know what our team needed and what to rally around and give a guy confidence. So a lot of credit to Terry and also for Gordy to be able to respond and move forward here.
Yeah, that's one of the things I'd like to do tonight during this show. We're getting down toward the end of the season. I'd like to talk a little bit about the staff, not only the coaches, both assistant coaches and Terry Barbo you just mentioned, but get into some of the other people who help make Laker hockey what it is too. We're going to take a break, though, here, our first of the night on the Laker Hockey Show. We'll be right back with more from the Antlers on ESPN 1400. All righty, we're back at the Antlers, second segment of our show tonight. We will have a show next week, regardless of what happens this weekend, whether we pull the big upset. Well, if we pull the big upset, we'll have a couple more shows because we'll be headed to Grand Rapids, and that would be an absolute tremendous thing for this team to happen, but we'll talk a little bit about that in a minute, too. Damon Witten with us, the head coach of the Lakers, and we're just talking about some of the things that are going on with this team. I noted today that a lot of first-year players, of course, a lot of first-year players get a lot of ice time with this Laker hockey team, but I think we've got first-year players, when you include Hanky, who are five of our top six scorers right now on this team, and that says an awful lot. There are some freshmen who are playing really well. You look at that line with Diego Cuglietta, Jake Hand, and Gage Terrell. That's three freshmen right there, true freshmen playing together and doing a very good job for Lake Superior. I thought Diego was just outstanding. He's usually very good. I talk about him all the time. Oh, he'll go to the tough areas. He's not the biggest guy in the world, but he's fearless at going to the front of the opposition net. I thought he was really good Saturday night.
He had a great weekend, you know, and he's a critical guy. We lost him for a couple of weeks there, and, you know, he's playing a little bit banged up. He was, and now he's getting back to full strength, a little bit like Gage Terrell, where Gage has had a couple upper body injuries, and then early on he was playing not at 100%, and then you see what these guys are like when they're 100%. So he had a huge weekend. The shorthanded game-winning goal was tremendous. He leads freshmen in game-winning goals. I think he's top three or four in the league in game-winning goals with, I think, five now. And, I mean, that's unbelievable, five game-winning goals as a freshman. So he's an important part of it. You know, he plays all situations as well, and, you know, he's done a good job. That line's been very good together. You know, Jake Hand's playing much better than he was earlier. He was a little bit in and out at times. And, you know, I think we all knew and thought we had something with Jake Hand, and then he wasn't quite where we thought he would be coming into it. But he's playing now where we thought he could be and would be, and then that's a huge asset to get him going and chipping in with those other guys.
Yeah, he had a big goal on Saturday night, the second of the three goals in the second period. That was a strange game, too. Ferris State scored a goal disallowed because the guy was in a crease interfering with our goaltender, and Gordy made that argument immediately, and the officials, to their credit, went, took a look at it, disallowed the goal, and then they come right back and they get a breakaway, and Chad McDonald scores for them, and it's 1-0 anyway at the end of a period. And, you know, that could deflate you, but it didn't. The Lakers came out in that second period, three unanswered goals, built a 3-1 lead.
Yeah, it was huge response in a huge second period. And I thought for sure the goal was going to count because it happened about 8 seconds earlier, maybe 6 to 8 seconds earlier. So I thought they were going to kind of say, well, he had a chance to recover. And, you know, when they go review it, they can't call a penalty on it. But that we were losing our minds on the bench because it should have been a penalty. And I forget, I think it was Mayhew, totally ran Gordy and, you know, knocked him. He carried him all the way behind the goal line. Gordy's back's facing the play, and we're all screaming to blow it. And you know, how's it not goalie interference? And to their credit, like you said, they went and reviewed it and realized, you know, that it wasn't a goal for sure. And then they say, hey, we can't call a penalty on it. We're just saying it should have been called. How do you guys not call it? You see the contact. You see our goalie behind the net almost. And but to their credit, and then on their goal, I mean, if you watch it, it's kind of amazing. But I'm not sure who got the primary assist, but he just spun, batted the puck out of midair. It lands right on their guy's stick at the red line on McDonald's stick, who's a heck of a player. And Chad's having a very good year. And Chad went in, made a nice play there on the goal. So that was a big goal there for them, obviously. And then, like you said, our response in the second period was outstanding. You know, and again, good penalty kill on Saturday night, a huge shorthanded goal. We had a beautiful rush goal by Mitch Holtz on his goal as well, and another big goal as well. So it was a big response in a tough environment and on a Saturday night where, like you said, things can go the other way. You can get down a little bit, but we fought back all year. We've stuck with it all year. Even to hold on to that lead and cling on to it was a good job. So we really like, you know, we're battle tested. We've been in a ton of one goal games. I'm not sure, you know, we've got to be right up there nationally and in the league with one goal games. Certainly some empty netters both ways to make it a two goal lead or win or loss. But we've been in tight games, and that's kind of a playoff atmosphere and feel to it. So you know, we're very battle tested that way and are ready for it.
Yeah, and those games were tight. There was an empty net goal involved in the Friday night Ferris State win, and even though we didn't play as well as we did on Saturday, we're right in it. It was a 2-1. Game. We could have tied that game several times. And then on Saturday night, the Holtz goal, what a play by JT Hankey. This kid's got some great hands, big time player for making passes. And he made a tremendous pass off the right wing wall, right in front. Holtz just put it right up over the shoulder, under the crossbar. In fact, I don't think Darren Smith knew it went in. He kept kind of playing.
Yeah.
He didn't know that it had gone in and come back out.
It came out of the net kind of strange, and I know Nellis tried to jam it once or twice because I think he thought it was in, but then there was no whistle, so he stayed on it. And like you said, Smith reacted it wasn't a goal. And, you know, some of the people in the crowd watch our practices a fair amount, and, you know, we've done a ton of rush play over the last few weeks, really. I mean, we do it all the year, obviously, but we've really tried to hit in more odd man rushes and execution on our odd man rushes, and that you know, I think is paying some dividends. We've had a couple nice rush goals the last few weeks. You know, and Mitch Holtz is a guy we've been on more to shoot the puck. You know, he passes up too many grade A scoring chances to make a cute little saucer pass or whatever, and you've got to bear down and shoot pucks and put quality pucks to the net. So, you know, I'm glad Mitch shot there, and, you know, I think Rich was talking to him Friday post game when he passed one up. You know, shoot the puck. He had a drop pass on the night before to drop like that led one, the odd man rush the other way. And, you know, we want to shoot pucks. And as you said, it was set up by JT Henke. I've talked all season long about his passing ability. And, you know, I think sometimes as a coach, you think about, boy, who would I like to play with? And JT Henke's a guy, I probably wouldn't have been a good player to play with him because I couldn't score well enough. But if you're a goal scorer, you're smart enough, he's a guy you'd love to have on your line because he'll find you in the right spot. And if you're ready to shoot, you're going to have some easy goals.
Yeah, that's why I thought early in the season when he was playing with Globke a little bit that Al was going to have a year like he did when he played with Danny Radke, because that was Radke's game. He wasn't a goal scorer, but he could make plays and he'd find Globke. I think Al had 13 goals his freshman year, and he was freshman of the year in the league, and that was why, because Radke could find him. And I thought, hey, Henke's going to do the same thing, but that didn't work out quite so well, although I like where they are right now. I love Holtz playing with Henke because Holtz is pretty good. He can put that puck in the net.
Yeah, he can shoot. Again, he's got to shoot it more and, you know, not overhandle it or pass up grade A scoring chances. And, you know, we need that line to be a little bit sharper defensively and get a little bit more reps in that way, especially as you go on the road and you know, you don't get the matchup that way. So we're asking for them to pay a little bit more detail to their defensive game, but they certainly have a chance to impact the game offensively. And there's a good little competition going, I think, between some of those guys now that they're, you know, some different lines. And, you know, Holtz and Gage are kind of battling back and forth among team leaders and league leaders for freshmen. And I think that's kind of pushed our competition to the next level and, you know, in a healthy competition to see, you know, who can offensively impact the game and who's going to lead this team in this league in scoring.
Okay, we're almost down to the bottom of the hour. We've got some questions from the fans who are with us tonight, and we'll get into those here in the second half. I want to remind everybody that we've got Randy Russ show tomorrow night, Hockey North, coming your way right here on ESPN Radio at 5. And then on Wednesday mornings at 8:30 or thereabouts, we'll have the Laker Hockey Talk program again right here on ESPN 1400. And don't forget, the Suhai Blue Devils do play hockey this week. They're in the state quarterfinal. It'll be at Lakeview Arena in Marquette. And that is on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. We'll have that one for you on WSOO, one of our other Sovereign Communication stations. So we'll take a break here. We'll be back. We'll get into the questions from the fans here right after this on ESPN 1400. Well, welcome back to the Laker Hockey Show. We are live at the Antlers on East Portage Avenue. Beautiful day in Sault Ste. Marie today. Got up to 50 degrees here this afternoon, which was really spring-like. We appreciate that here in the North Country. In the 60s today downstate, they're getting into summer-like weather down there at this point. We've got some questions from our fans here tonight who are with us, so we got a good crew as usual here at the Antlers. We appreciate that, too. Talking a little bit about defensemen, we played with five guys for the most part on Friday night, Damon, because Ryan Renz got hurt, I think, the first shift he took in that game and did not return. What's the situation with him? What's the situation with Matt McCardle? I think we're down to 6D, aren't we?
Well, Matt's back practicing, and you know, he should be cleared to go and ready to roll. He's obviously missed some time here, but so we that should get us back to 7 healthy D. You know, Ryan is probably questionable for the weekend, so you know, that will, we're a little bit banged up and nicked up back there, which is concerning this time of year. But like you said, you know, and like we know, we've got experienced guys at this point, and you know, guys are ready to roll. You know, we were talking about Owen Hedrick off the air, and you know, he's kind of back to that early season form. I think he's played extremely well as of late, and Draplick and Spratty are back to full health and ready to play, and those guys can play major minutes. And then Ryder Chatham, you know, probably you know, the two you know, guys we don't talk about a whole lot, but they're so critical, they're so important. Most nights they get the matchup against the other team's top line. They're top penalty killers. You know, you don't always notice them on the score sheet or things like that, but those are guys that you win hockey games with and win championships with. They've done a tremendous job for us, so we'll be fine back there, and you know, we're where we need to be.
Yeah, we got Chatham leading the league, I think, in blocked shots this year. And, you know, Kyle's not a flashy player. He's not going to rush the puck up the ice very often and make a great offensive play. Neither is Wright. But, boy, they're both really tough kids. And, you know, they had a test there on Friday night. You got to play with 5D in a place like Ferris State with that speed that Ferris comes at you with. Those guys were pretty much exhausted at the end of that game Friday night.
You know, no question. I mean, that's tough. First, second shift of the game, and you lose a guy. And, you know, not only is it the minutes played, but it's the chaos a little bit. Who's going? And then we had one or two D take penalties, so you're down to D-men killing as well. So at times you're down to four guys. And it's very difficult. So I thought they did a great job in that game. And then you're so concerned for Saturday about fatigue and energy levels and things like that. I thought Jimmy Roll came in and played maybe his best game of the year for us. So I thought that was very encouraging. I thought he skated extremely well and took ice well. And that's obviously extremely important against Mankato, the way they skate. So that was good. And obviously he was able to play, pretty major minutes. And then that helped ease the burden for those guys who played so much on Friday.
Okay, we got some more questions here from fans, a couple of them concerning Arizona State in the Big Ten. We'll hold those off for a second. I think I got a good one here, though. Are we looking to add mobility to our D core, like, for instance, Ferris State and Michigan Tech and teams like that that are really quick defensively? I think we're kind of doing that. I think that's what Bindulis, I think that's what you're looking for there. And Sockerman's a defensive defenseman more than an offensive defenseman, but he can skate too.
Well, I think today's game, there's no question. You have to be able to skate. You have to have great mobility. And, you know, we're trying to play a puck possession game. And, you know, it's funny, even in watching Ferris, as well as they skate, they don't possess the puck a whole lot. They chip it, they wrap it, you know, and part of it's probably the rink they play in and the corners they have there where there's not much space and time. But we're absolutely looking to improve our skating and mobility. And, you know, no matter how good we are there, we're always going to look to improve it and get better there. So, yes, we are for sure. You know, again, we want to go back and have we call it a wheel mindset, go back with the puck and take ice and make a good tape-to-tape pass and then jump up in the rush. So that we have numbers, so that we have puck possession. And that's a big area that we're trying to, evaluate and improve upon. And as you mentioned, and Bindulis will do that. Sackerman skates well. And again, he's more of a shutdown guy and a penalty kill guy, but he skates well for a big guy. And, again, we expect him to play that way when he gets here. Cole Holtz is another guy who can do that.
Yeah, Cole Holtz I was thinking of along those lines, and we've got one right now who's going to be a dandy. There isn't a doubt in my mind that Owen Hedrick isn't going to be one of the premier defensemen in this league in a couple of years. He's good right now. Every once in a while you'll see him take off. He's got good vision. He can see what's going on. He'll make a really good play in the offensive zone. And he can skate. He gets back, covers up. But as he gets bigger and stronger, he's going to be really a good player.
Yeah, I think physically mature is probably the best way to put it. You know, he's still, if you look at Owen, he's got a little bit of the baby fat going, and, you know, he won't be able to grow a playoff beard, that's for sure. There's no chance of him growing anything like that right now. So as his body continues to physically mature, he's going to be an extremely important player for us. He seems to be playing like he was early in the season. And he had another guy that was hampered by some injuries. He missed the Vermont tournament because of injuries. And, it's been a little bit of a slow recovery. I think, again, part of that is just not used to this level of training and things like that and, you know, just being a young guy. So I think that caught up to him a little bit physically. We're not surprised by that, and we expected that a little bit. So it's good to see him, you know, physically back to that level of play. And, yeah, he's a guy that we have high aspirations for, and, you know, he shows that. He leads the league in rookie defenseman scoring, and he's the youngest guy in the league. And, we're encouraged by the way he's playing once again and expect him to be a big piece of what we're doing, you know, today and in the future.
Yeah, Owen Hedrick's missed some games with injury this year. He still has 4 goals and 7 assists. He's one of our leading point men as a defenseman and as a freshman. He's 18 years old. I mean, I think he's going to be really, really good. We got a couple other questions here. They kind of go together, I would think. Is Arizona State still looking for a conference? I don't think Arizona State's made a decision as yet, or a conference hasn't accepted them. And will the Big Ten add more teams than the 6 it has now?
Well, I think there's no question they need to and will have to. And I know, just a couple of years ago, they added John Hopkins as a affiliate member for lacrosse only. And so I think that's very much on the table for them with Arizona State or potentially other schools. Arizona State, I can't remember if they set a hard deadline or a soft deadline of when they'd like to announce. It seems like there's some steam picking up recently about a decision coming soon. So, I'd imagine before too long they're going to have to for scheduling purposes. And, I know we're still in the mix, as is the NCHC and the Big Ten, and, we'll see where that goes. And, I think for our league where we're at right now with the Alaska schools already in, that's a difficult, travel. And to add that in on top of two Alaskas and Alabama, I'm not sure that's overly doable for a lot of us, and I don't know how that works physically on your players. I mean, to me, that's a lot. We'd have to go into some kind of a pod system, I would think, at that point, and that's certainly a possibility. But that should be coming shortly, and real mild rumors in terms of the Big Ten and some other schools showing some other current members of the Big Ten. I think if you look at Nebraska, their new basketball arena has the ability to make ice in it. They put that in, so there's some there, but I think it's going to take a big donor like Penn State to step up and make a massive donation in terms of infrastructure and funding to get it started. And Title IX, you look at Title IX, that's an issue at most of those schools where you got to have a matching women's sport to add as well. And I know Syracuse is sitting there. They're a Division I women's program right now, so I don't know where that's at, but there'll be a new wave of, I think, realignment and additional schools, maybe 3 to 5 years out, something like that.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk online these days about how Western Michigan and Miami University are not real happy with the NCHC because they have more than doubled the cost of travel. And I know we see some of that ourselves. Our costs have got to be way inflated, having to go to Alaska twice this year. And you look at the possibility of Huntsville in a given season and both Alaskas, that could break the bank here. We're not the biggest school in the world with the biggest budget. So those are all tough things that are being worked on. But I think you're going to see a realignment in college hockey in the next 3, 4 years, too. I agree with that. Now, players of the week this week, we always hit that. We didn't get one. We had two nominees, but we came up short. Tyler Morley from Alaska was the offensive player of the week. He had a goal and three assists in those two wins over Alaska Anchorage that eliminated the Seawolves. Jamie Phillips, what do we say about this guy? You're familiar with him. Five times this year he's been named Defensive Player of the Week as the goalie at Michigan Tech. Seven times in his career. He's had a heck of a senior year, and he got the Defensive Player of the Week. And then Stephen Bayless, the freshman from BG, Rookie of the Week. He had a goal and an assist in the games down in Huntsville. So
I think he had more than that. I thought he had like a 4-point weekend.
Yeah, he might have. Yeah, he may have had three
more
assists.
He's had about 6 or 8 assists in his last four games, or points rather, in his last four games. He's come, he's a good player. Played with against Nellis out in the CCHL. They went against each other in the playoffs as well, and he's been extremely hot. He was not really in the leading scorers, and now he's in the top 3 or 4 after the last, I think, 2 weekends. So he's had 6 or 8 points his last 2 weeks. He's playing extremely well for Bowling Green late here.
So he's Rookie of the Week. And we were going to talk a little bit about some of our guys, where they'd been before, to show folks maybe we're not aware of where some of these players have been, how well Nellis did when he played in the CCHA, and how well some of our other guys who are first-year players for us have done in the past. We've got some winners on this team.
Well, I think as a staff, we were just talking about, it's a new season. Whatever happened October, November, nothing matters anymore. And we didn't even recap the Ferris State series significantly. Typically, we'd spend Monday going over, some areas we consider critical to winning and doing a thorough recap in a video session. But, none of that matters at this point. It's a brand new season. And, with that, playoff hockey is different. The highs are higher, the lows are lower. We've talked a lot about playing on that edge, but not going over, but you've got to be there. Friday night, we were disappointed. We weren't on the edge. We weren't as prepared as we needed to play. And, I'm sure we have some other guys. And, part of this coaching transition is you don't know the background of some of your upperclassmen. We weren't involved in them recruiting, especially like our Toronto kids, our Eastern kids. I was out west and didn't know those guys. Rich was in France. Doug was in pro hockey. So, we can't talk as much about some of those guys. But we were just talking as a staff today. And, it's a tough matchup, no question about it, but something you feel good about is you look at Anthony Nellis, and in playoffs last year in the CCHL, he led the entire CCHL in playoff scoring. So you like a guy that responds to that adversity. The type of hockey it is, it's more physical, it's tighter checking, there's no calls being made. So we feel good about Nellis coming in. Jaycan, same thing in the BCHL. The powerful Penticton team won it all, and they played about 10 or 12 at least more games than Jaycan's Chilliwack team did. Corey Mackin, he matched up against in the first round, and Corey Mackin's the leading freshman scorer in the league, but Jaycan led the whole BCHL in scoring. I'm not sure if Owen Hedrick led his whole league in scoring. I know he led his team. I know he was MVP of the whole playoffs. I think he might end up leading the league, but he was definitely up there. If he didn't lead it, he was there. So here's another guy that went through a run, took his team to the Dudley Hewitt Cup. Mitch Holtz is 2 years removed removed from the Clark Cup championship in the USHL with Indiana, so you like that experience. Gordy Dayfield 2 years ago led his team to the Fred Page Cup in the BCHL. He went to the Dudley Hewitt Cup in the SIJHL, so another championship performer. You know, Josh Nenendahl was part of Youngstown when they won the Anderson Cup, which is the regular season championship, and then they lost in the finals, I believe, that year to maybe Waterloo, I can't remember, in the Clark Cup. But, we've got some guys who are very experienced in playoff hockey. They understand what it takes. Everything's ratcheted up, and there's not going to be, those ticky-tack calls. It's going to be a little bit more of a, put the whistles away and let the guys play. So, we feel good about some of that experience coming in. And again, I know I'm missing some guys because we weren't there watching them and tracking them at that point in terms of our upperclassmen. But, that's important. You want guys who come from winning programs and have won championships and competed in that environment. It says a lot about those kids. And, we've got Luke Morgan in first place in Cedar Rapids. They'll have a good playoff run. Max Humitz was lost in the finals last year with Muskegon, and then Tri-City just picked him up. They're in first place, so they got him to go on another playoff run. So it's important that you have guys that go through this heightened playoff experience where there's more on the line, and it's just a real, I hate to use the word battle because I know there's so much more important things going out there, but a real dogfight, whatever the terminology is. And you want to have that in your roster, and we have that, and we're hoping we can lean on that, and that helps us in a tough environment.
How much will it help the Lakers this weekend, who have played against Minnesota State just a few weeks ago? Even though we lost and it wasn't close in either game, I think it's got to help these guys because there's no surprise here. Our players know what they're going into here.
Well, it's huge, and even, Ferris, obviously we play four times every year because we're kind of the geographic rival there. So, next year we don't have to break in 11 guys or whatever it is going to play in that rink where everything happens so quick. So we've made the trip, we know the hotel, we know the arena, the locker room, all those things. And there's just a little bit more, comfort level to it. Obviously, our adjustments from Friday to Saturday and our habits and the way they play and knowing their skating ability going into it. Our guys will be well aware of that. If we're loose with pucks and don't manage pucks, then we're going to make life really difficult on ourselves. So I think it's very important. And obviously they can say the same way. They'll be adjusted and know some of our tendencies. But it's important that we've been in that environment. You feel a lot better than that than say we didn't play there this year and we're going to take this young team that hasn't played in that environment. So I think that obviously you look at that and you feel a little bit more comfortable going into there. Comfortable as you can against a team like that, at least. So.
Yeah, they're going to be tough. I mean, you look at them. We mentioned some of them earlier here, Carter Folgeth and Casey Nelson, and Daniel Brickley is a really good, big, strong freshman defenseman. John Jutzi's a senior now. He's been around as long as we've been playing them. Bryce Gervais up front with C.J. Franklin, Teddy Bluger, Zach Steppen, whose brother plays for the New York Rangers. He's a very good player. He's a high NHL draft pick. They got about 8-9 NHL drafts in their lineup. And yet if you look at their scoring, and I think you hit on this earlier, our leading scorer has 20 points right now. And that's J.T. Hinkie with 9 goals and 11 assists. Their leader has 33. That's not a whole lot more points, and their next guy after him has 22. So yeah, they're not like running away with things offensively here.
Yeah, no, it's surprising that there's drop off, and we've talked a ton about Gervais already, but he's coming off a 28 goal year, and this is a team that's been through the playoffs. They won a playoff championship last year. They've been to the NCAA tournament. So we're talking about some of these guys in our background. Now they've done it at the college level, and that certainly gives them a little bit more moxie and experience, and I'm sure they'll be relying on that. And it's a huge test and a huge matchup. As we've said, there's not anybody around college hockey or that follows the WCHA that gives us a chance to even go there and win one game. So we've got the deck stacked against us a little bit, but that's okay. We had it all season long, and we proved a lot of people wrong, and that'll give us a little bit extra motivation, a little bit of a chip on our shoulder to go in there. And we're not worrying about Sunday, we're not worrying about Saturday, we're going to worry about Friday night, that first 20 minutes, and have a tremendous start, and give ourselves a chance to pull an upset off.
Offense and defense going into this one, they're almost mirrors of each other. So far, Minnesota State has scored 94 goals this season and allowed 73. Lakers have scored 70 and allowed 93. But the Lakers' penalty kill is outstanding. We're in the top 10. I think we're ninth in the nation, and we're in the top 3 in our league. Penalty kill-wise, special teams, we're pretty good. Power play, they're not a whole lot better than we are on the power play, although they do have some high-end skill players, and they scored some power play goals against us 5 weeks ago.
Yeah, that cost us last time, and you know that got away a little bit there too. And you know that's an important matchup again. Playoff hockey, everything, the highs are higher and the intensity is ratcheted up. So you've got to really be disciplined. You know, you can't give the refs a chance to make any cheap calls and give up a cheap one that way. You know, I'd love to see our penalty kill if we could take away the first 3-4 weeks with, you know, a new coach running it and a lot of new personnel and see where we were. We could obviously do that math easily because I think it'd be even a little bit higher nationally. I couldn't tell you how many shorthanded goals we could have, should have, would had, because we've generated a ton of odd man rushes, a ton of breakaways. I think easily 3 to 5 more, and I'm not sure we're at nationally shorthanded goals. We're 14th nationally with 5. I think we could easily be at 8, and you know, with a little bit more puck luck or finish, you know, even 10, 15, or 12. So we've generated a lot that way. So we feel good about that. And you know, up until this past weekend, we'd cash in one power play per goal or per game the last 2 or 3 weeks, and so that was a nice addition there to get that. Obviously, it's been a little bit of a challenge offensively most of the year, but we've been better as of late. But this will be a much stiffer test, and you know, we've got to find a way to maintain that offensive output.
All righty, we're going to take our final break. We'll be back with more Laker Hockey Show from the Antlers on ESPN 1400. All righty, we're back for our final segment of the show tonight from the Antlers. This time flies by very quickly every week. We said earlier in the show we're going to talk a little bit about staff tonight. We don't do this very often. I think, you know, we should, you know, recognize people when they do a great job. I think this is a tight staff. You know, you got your two assistant coaches, Rich Mitro and Doug Holliva. You've got Terry Barbo. We talked a little bit about him earlier, what a job he's done this year with the goaltenders. But there are other staffers. There's Paul Prouche. There's Nikki Mackey, who's our trainer this year. And that's been a unique situation. It's not very often we have a woman around the hockey team, but she's done a great job as a young person dealing with everything this year. And talk a little bit about this staff. We could talk Westy Young, who's our student manager. We've got people like Tyler Dobratz, who does an awful lot to help us. He's the strength coach. A lot of people don't know him. And then Ned Zimmer, who has been behind the scenes for 2 years now. And he's kind of like the traveling secretary. He does a little bit of everything. He doesn't make much money, but he sure does a good job for Lake Superior State.
Yeah, there's a lot, and there's a lot of relationships there. And, you know, I think obviously anytime you kind of start with your assistants, Rich and Doug, and you know, they do obviously a tremendous job for us, not only on a day-to-day in terms of coaching and developing our players and relating to our players, but you look at the recruiting and the relationships they have with junior coaches. I mean, it's really nonstop. You know, obviously the wife's like to thank them a little bit right here as we talk about them. You can't talk about Rich and Doug and myself without mentioning our wives, because you know, I know my wife is, she wants us to go to Grand Rapids in the NCAA, but I know she's also ready at some point to get her husband back and get our lives back on track, because your marriage really does get interrupted throughout the season. And, you know, once we're done playing, it'll slow down a little bit, but they'll still be recruiting and some things that way. So they do a tremendous job. And as you said, we've got a great relationship, not only with our coaching staff, but our whole staff. You know, I looked down today as I was leaving. It's obviously a short week and a busy week. And I looked down and said, oh man, I'm going to be late over to Antlers for the radio show. And I thought it'd be the last one out of the rink, and you go downstairs and Paul's still there. Paul Prouche is still there, you know, working away. I mean, the hours he puts in and his dedication to the team is unbelievable. You know, he loves the guys. You know, and so he does a great job. He's helped by Wes, you know, Roy sitting here, Roy Forrest still helps out as well. And you know, just the dedication, how much they care about the kids is tremendous. Wes was able to join us in Big Rapids. I forget another trip he made this year. So, you know, occasionally Wes DeYoung, our student equipment manager, gets to help out. And, you know, his relationship again with the guys is tremendous, and our guys love and care about him, which is great to see. You know, Ned, again, you talk about the hours he puts in, but, you know, I know it's a little bit different for him. He didn't play at this level. He played junior hockey and high school hockey, and I think he's always, you know, surprised about how hard it is. And you can take somebody who hasn't gone through it, but just the hours and the toll it takes in your body. And, you know, I know Ned has been sick a little bit the last couple of weeks. It's gone around our team, but it's unbelievable the physical toll he's put in for our team to get us going. You know, he does stat work, he does video work. As you mentioned, he helps with our travel and our logistics there. So he's done a great job as our director of hockey operations, and we couldn't do what we do without him and the hours he puts in. And, There's, every Friday night about 2 a.m., 3 a.m., I'll get a text from Ned, and I'm usually up or just getting to bed, and he'll give me the scoring chances and a couple thoughts on the game. So that's huge for us. And Nikki Mackey, it's Nikki, and she's got some student help along with Lucas. But Nikki, as you mentioned, a little bit different, unique. She's done a tremendous job for us. As our athletic trainer, she got in here late because of Matt's departure there, and for her to pick up and go, she's been go, and done a good job. And then Tyler Dobretz, we wouldn't be where we are without the job he's done in the weight room. And conditioning, everything we've done preseason, our guys, you look around, we look like a hockey team. When you see our guys walk into arena or pregame or wherever it is, we look like hockey players. And obviously a lot of it's our guys held themselves accountable. They had a great summer, but when they got back here, Tyler's done a great job with us. And we had a lift today. We want to continue our schedule that we've done all season long. And obviously this time of year, it really tapers down. It's a light lift, but he's been right in there working away and done a really good job, not only for our program, but I know the basketball programs have done a great job for them as well, among some other programs.
Yeah, and he is definitely going to leave. He's got a job. He's going to Ohio University. He'll leave at the end of the season. We're going to miss him. He's done a great job. I think he's going to make this trip out to Minnesota, though. And that'll be good. We'll have all hands on deck, and that'll give us a lot of opportunity. I noticed Friday and Saturday night, there's Ned running across the ice, going down there. He's got the computer in his hand. He's going in between periods, so you guys can look at whatever you want to look at from each period. That's the kind of stuff everybody does it, but it's particularly difficult for Lake Superior State because we quite often have to ask people to do a lot more for a lot less.
Well, you know what? What I love about it, and what you find, is that people have such a passion for this program, and what this program means to Lake State and to the community. So, there's a ton of people that want to get in to any hockey program, but a college hockey program. And I think as we move forward, as we get to know more people through the school and young kids, we'd like to incorporate more students from Lake State in different roles. Not only equipment manager, but statisticians, and there's a ton of ways to help and be involved. And so now that we're kind of a little bit into a little bit more of a routine and have everything down, we would like to find a way to get more students involved and in helping out. There's a ton of things that we always need assistance with and help with. So we appreciate everybody's passion and their hard work, and we wouldn't be where we were, and we couldn't do the job we do without all those people. So a real thank you and kudos to the staff.
All righty, we got a rough road trip ahead of us, long way over there. What's the game plan for the team to leave Sault Ste. Marie and get over to be ready to play this Friday night? And by the way, those games are at 7 o'clock Central Time, so that's like 8 o'clock starts here in Sault Ste. Marie. We'll have all three games for you on right on Yes FM, where we always are, and on the internet. But what's the game plan?
Well, it's a little bit different too, because there's that possibility of a third game Sunday. So you want to make sure your travel is as easy as it can be on a long bus ride. So we're gonna leave Wednesday morning a little bit earlier than typical because of that potential and because of the travel, and obviously playoffs, everything's ratcheted up a little bit. So we'll depart Wednesday morning early. We're gonna get to Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and have a practice there and kind of hunker down for the night. It's maybe just on the outskirts of how long you want to travel on the bus and get off and try to have a productive practice. But we'll try to get there early enough to get the bus legs out and refocus. We'll go on the ice for hour 20, and get our last real walk through day in, and then in the morning we wake up Thursday. We only have about 2 hours left, so it'll make that last little jaunt into Mankato a little bit easier, and hopefully that'll keep us fresh and ready to go, and then we'll kind of get into our typical routine. When we get there Thursday, we'll have late afternoon ice or early evening ice down in Mankato, and put the finishing touches on our preparation for them and our adjustments, and then it's full game mode, down there. Once again, we'll be at the hotel connected to the rink. It makes things easy. We're going to look at a little bit different routine there once we get there because of that hotel location, but getting there is a challenge, and then once you're there, it's a pretty routine and a pretty good setup down there.
Yeah, it is. It's excellent that the Hilton Garden Inn is located right next to the rink, and you don't have to go outside even to get into the facility, but it's a tough, tough place to play. They had over 5,000 people in there for both games last weekend when they played Bemidji State, And that'll be a great environment. Our guys like it when there are a lot of people there. It doesn't matter whether they're backing them or against them. It's exciting to play in front of a huge crowd.
Yeah, it always is fun. And, you know, I think a lot of kids, and especially in playoffs, you love that. You love to go into a hostile environment. And, again, you know, your backs are against the wall, and then you've got a tough task ahead of you. And then if you can add a raucous crowd on top of that, that are all over you, you know, it'll be a great environment for our guys to enjoy. And again, we're looking forward to it. You know, we know it's a challenge, and we know there's nobody thinking we can go in there and do the job that we've set our task at hand to do. But, you know, you got to enjoy that. That's part of what you love about playoff hockey in this time of year. So there'll be a real excitement out of our group down there.
All right. We'll have the games for you starting at about 7:35 with a pregame show each night this weekend. Lakers playing at Minnesota State, and it'll be a tough series. But we'll be there and ready to go on Friday night. Don't forget tomorrow night, Randy Russin's Hockey North show, and then our Laker Hockey Talk on Wednesday morning at 8:30 right here on ESPN 1400. Thanks to Wade Tebert for helping us out here at the show tonight, and Frank Blissett back at the station. Damon, thank you for being here again, and thank you to all the fans who are with us as well.
Yeah, thank you, everybody, for tuning in and showing up, and we're looking forward to a good playoff run and talking more Wednesday and then Monday.
All right, we'll be back next Monday night. Another Laker hockey show on ESPN 1400.